This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Son?
The Cowboys season has devolved to the point where we're out of things to talk about. Except...
Son?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And yet...
Except this. Honestly, we are now down to the sunlight in the stadium.
Son?
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe. Yahoo Sports NFL analyst Nate Tice. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Phone lines are lit. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll have lots of time to take your phone calls. Just chatted with Albert Breer, calling in from Philadelphia, zooming in from Philadelphia. And a terrific game slated for tonight between the Commanders and the Eagles. So much fun, man.
Giddy up. Let's go.
You know? I can't wait for it.
It's going to be awesome.
Chris Brockman's where he is. Jay Felly is where he is. TJ Jefferson is where he is. Surrounded by all those balloons and flowers, courtesy of Carl Anthony Towns, because his Cowboys lost to Carl's Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we roll.
Somebody's rolling.
Jalen Hurts is, as we all know, spent some time in Alabama. How's that for a turn?
Roll Tide.
And one of his successors is joining us right now in advance of Alabama's game against Mercer, Jalen Milroe of Alabama Crimson Tide Football. Good to see you, Jalen. How are you? Nice to meet.
Hey, nice to meet you. How you doing?
I am doing better for talking to you. I just saw an old colleague and friend of yours over in Germany, Bryce Young. Just watched him play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you backed him up for a while until you got your time. What did you pick up from Bryce Young in those years?
Absolutely. So I backed up Bryce for 2 years, and one thing that I got to speak about is our friendship, number one. I think that was so important as a guy who left the state. We both left the state. We understand what it means to be the Alabama cornerback. And he set a great example for the room with how his leadership was, how he prepared, how he, you know, influenced the guys in the room. And then, importantly, he was a captain as well. So he just, his influence on the team was something special. And then also with the knowledge that he had, you know, with him being a starter from the time frame that I've been in college, he was able to, you know, be a positive influence around the guys in the room, which was me, Paul Tyson, Ty Simpson, and the guys that were a part of our team with the time frame when he was here. And so I thought I was awesome just to be around him, learn, and just try to grow as much as possible. And something that I learned since I've been in here with the new staff with Coach DeBoer, Coach Sheridan asked the players, one of our spring practice, he said, "Hey, how many reps did you get today?" And, you know, the player, he was thinking like in his head, he's trying to count his hand, like how many reps he had. He said, "I'll stop you right there." He had all of them, a mental rep and a physical rep. So although I wasn't the QB1 in a sense, I was always getting a rep. I was always trying to get better in a sense of taking a mental rep and a physical rep whenever I'm in. So I thought it was just so important when it comes to development, when it comes to growth, it's just watching the guy in front of me who did it at a great rate.
Yeah, I mean, does he still, are you still in contact with each other? You and
Absolutely.
Bryce?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the interesting thing is, I guess, you and him going through a similar experience this year, having a completely new coaching staff coming in, maybe changing, offenses, terminology, and things like that. How have you been able to, appearingly, from my perspective, seamlessly transition with Kalen DeBoer, Jalen?
Absolutely. I think the best thing that throughout the offseason that you have phases throughout offseason. Mm-hmm. And so I try to branch it out into four phases. Number one, you have the fourth quarter period where you're installing plays and you're just getting familiar with, who's our team, who's on offense, who's on defense. You have all these areas of guys that, fill into these roles. Then you have spring ball, then summer, then you have fall camp. And so within those time frame, you have so much opportunity to understand the system, understand our personnel, who's going to be what our strengths, what are our weaknesses. And what's unique about the offseason is there's no shot clock, there's no game clock. So you have so much time to pour into the guys, pour into what we need to be as an offense. And so I think that's something that's credited to, how we play on offense and just the confidence level. It just comes from the offseason, it comes from preparation, it comes from just growth with the time frame, just learning from our coaching staff, learning from the guys that's been a part of the Washington group. And we have some guys on roster that came there that's on part of our offense. So it's so important for us just to keep on learning, keep on growing, and just keep understanding, what makes us unique.
Did you connect with Michael Penix Jr. at all, Jalen?
So he came down here. So he did the Reese Bowl, and he came down to campus, and I was able to talk to him then. So I was able to meet him then. That was my first time meeting him.
Yeah, I was about to see if he gave you any, sort of guidance, any thoughts about the DeBoer system, and clearly what he thrived in and then wound up being a top 10 pick in the NFL, which is exactly what I imagine would be your plan as well. Certainly playing in a national championship game on top of it, Jalen, right?
Yeah, no, 100%.
He's smiling already. Yeah, I know.
You already know the mission. I think, you're judging your last snap. And so why I say that is that the last quarterback that was in the system was a great quarterback in Michael Penix. So that's something that we saw as far as installation is the previous offense at Washington, seeing how explosive they were, how they weren't one-dimensional. And that's something that we are as well, is not one-dimensional. And there's so many, plays, so many things that we can do that can be explosive. We talk about ball dominance, explosiveness, and details. That's where we, simplify the offense into those pillars, and that's going to allow us to be, the best offense we can be. But that's something that they did at a high rate when he was there at Washington. And, of course, that's something that you got to do as far as being an explosive offense, is to be detail-oriented. And that was some things that they did with the Washington offense. And it definitely, spoke about, what made it fun. And so I'm definitely having fun in the offense, and I'm looking forward for more fun ahead.
Jalen Milroe of Alabama football right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And obviously losing 2 of 3 in that stretch is one thing. But since that loss to Tennessee, let me do the math for everybody here. Combined victories 76-13 over two ranked teams, Missouri, and then what you just did against LSU. Is something clicking here that you feel you could take through the end of the season? And if you do get a chance to play for the SEC championship and maybe even make it into that final 12, Jalen?
So I think when we separate, what has taken place throughout the season, all of our losses turn into a lesson, right? And look at, how we can get better, look in the mirror. And the one thing that we look at is that no one's going to feel bad for us. We got to keep on grinding. We got to keep on attacking our goals. At the very beginning of the season, we set short-term goals and long-term goals that we want to accomplish as a football team, right? So we got past the short-term goals. It's getting closer to the long-term goals we set in the offseason. And all of them are within reach. And it's going to come from great preparation. It's going to come from the commitment level of everybody on the team, the discipline, the effort, the pride that we play in, and understanding that it takes all of us as a whole group and come together as one, and one mentality, one group, one heartbeat. All the cliche terms you can think about, it's so important for us. And so, all our goals are still there. We just have to prepare the right way. We have to understand that whatever was our weakness, we had to turn to a strength. All our strengths make it even stronger. And that's how we narrow the gap between being a good football team into an excellent football team that can go on to win championships, go on to win more games, because we acknowledge it. The SEC is a very hard conference. You know, each and every week that we play a team, we have to give our best us. No matter if we're on a home game, whether we're on a road, it's going to be a tough opponent. And so it's all about doing what makes us the best team that day, which is the preparation, which is going 1-0 each and every day, which is understanding what makes us unique, understanding what our team values are, and never doing anything that's going to discredit the football team or look that's against, you know, what we need to do to be successful.
Jalen Milroe, a few minutes left with the Alabama Crimson Tide quarterback prior to taking on Mercer. And then finishing up at Oklahoma, and then there's always that Iron Bowl that lurks out there before potentially an SEC championship game and beyond. The calendar year began with you out here in Southern California in the Rose Bowl. Jalen, did you have any sense that that could have been Nick Saban's last game when you took the field in Pasadena that day, Jalen?
Not at all. It was definitely a surprise for all of us. And you know, as we reflect, you know, it was just a shocker for everyone. And it was definitely something we did not anticipate or see coming. It was definitely a shocker for all of us.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And what did he do for you, do you think, Jalen?
Number one, he gave me an opportunity. A high school recruit coming from Texas. Having the opportunity to play quarterback here at the University of Alabama, I will always be appreciative of that. And him seeing something in me, right? With all the guys that's in the country, he saw something in me to be the only quarterback selected in the 2021 recruiting class and recruiting me to Alabama. And I was a guy, I was committed to other school. So he saw something unique in me to get me to come to Alabama. And I was always be appreciative of that. That's number one. Number two is the example that he set each and every day with what right looks like and the standard of excellence that we all want to accomplish, no matter if it's football, no matter if it's our life. It's just the standard of excellence and how disciplined he is with each and everything that we put our mind to. That's number two. And number three is the commitment level to whatever your goals are. I think that's so important. You know, as you go through a path of life, it's going to be hardship. There's going to be things that are going to get you weary in the process. But it's always the commitment to understand why you do something. What is your why? What is your purpose? What drives you? And it's something that's refocuses and is an emphasis, you know, as being the quarterback here at Alabama. And so those are the three things. You know, I can say a bunch of things, but I was narrowed down to those things. That's what I always will be appreciative of and always understand that I'll always be appreciative of Coach Saban.
Mm. And I'm going to ask you a question I've asked many of your predecessors, Jalen. Mac Jones, I've asked this of Tua. I've asked this of Jalen Hurts. A bunch of Alabama players who weren't even playing quarterback. So this is not just reserved for you. But what is the most pissed off you ever made, Nick Saban? Jalen.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
The most pissed off I ever made Coach Saban. So early on in... when I was like, I think I was a freshman or sophomore. I was a freshman.
Okay.
So I was backing up, you know, and we're finishing up a rack. So my first three racks, I'm talking about, were good. You know, I threw a corner route, which was a good ball. The second play, I scrambled, you know, got a positive down. The third play was a good play. So I'm feeling good. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I'm feeling good. And my last rack of the team period, I dropped back. You know, our defense does a lot of disguises. Playing Coach Saban's defense is very hard.
Yep.
And you have to understand the tail, understand where the defense is tilted, all that good stuff. And so I dropped back. I threw the ball. It was picked. And as a competitor, I'm like, dang, like, man, this is tough. Like, you know, worrying about me. Like, man, everybody hates throwing picks. No one likes throwing picks. And so I threw a pick, and I didn't chase the ball. And while I threw the ball, I was on the right hash. I threw the ball to the left side of the field. So the ball was always to the left, and it was picked off. And I was all in the right hat. I didn't chase the ball down. And where he was standing at, he was standing on the left side of the field. He went from the left side of the field, right side of the field, yelled at me all the way where he was at, came down, ran with me to where the ball ended up going to, screamed at me all the way there, screamed at me some more, walked off, came back, screamed at me, and said that if you don't chase a ball down, you'll never play here.
Wow.
Message received, I imagine. Yeah.
100%. 100%. Next time I'm going to chase that ball down.
Wow.
Chase that ball down. Well, you should be happy to know that every single one of your predecessors had a similar story about that, and but all had a similar reaction to you, which is like, okay, message received, hard coaching, it's all good, and you know, but none of them have what you can say that you were the last quarterback Nick Saban ever had at Alabama, which has got to be pretty cool for you. Obviously, with there's lots more of road for you to travel, but that's pretty cool, Jalen. When you think about it,
absolutely. You know, so when we're going through that transition period, you know, it was definitely tough. You know, of course, you know, losing the Rose Bowl, the transition coach saying retiring, and the person that actually mentioned that to me was my parents, and they were like, "Have you ever thought about, man? Like, it's going to go down this history that you was, you know, Coach Saban's last quarterback." And I didn't even think about that. I was like, "Man, that's awesome." And then also just, you know, I'm his last quarterback to win the SEC championship, so it's so much. Positive, you know, that we can turn from a negative that occurred in the offseason.
Well, and it's all going to be positive for you at the next level as well, you know, because it does, you know, hard coaching, great coaching definitely translates, you know, it prepares you and all of that. So I guess last question for you, and I know it's kind of awkward to ask this because you have so much left of this season for your time there in Alabama, but what would a team in the NFL watching you right now get if they drafted Jalen Milroe at some point? What would they get?
I think, honestly, as I narrow it down, it's all about commitment, discipline, and never having to worry that Jalen's going to do what was needed for the team. Everything is centered around the team, whether it's the game plan, whether it's handing the ball off, throwing the ball, using my legs. It's nothing that I wouldn't do that's for the team, doing, you know, what's my, you know, my requirement, which is my best. And all I want to do is be a, you know, a positive reflection of the whole football team. And I think that's the biggest thing that I try to play the game and doing what's required of my job, you know. And I just truly believe that it's not one dimensional as far as the passing game, the running game, just doing what's best of me and doing what, you know, what's required for us to win. You know, that's all I want to do is win and do what's best for the football team and just center around guys, you know, collectively to just being team-oriented and detail-oriented, whatever it comes. And so I think just the commitment level, never wavering from that, and just having also a great support system around me. So there's nothing that's going to distract me, get me weary in the process. It's all about just staying grounded, remaining humble as much as possible, and nothing distracting me from my path.
I love it. And I know, I guess, you know, you've got lots on your plate, but do you peek at a game like tonight with Jaden Daniels, Commanders, Jalen Hurts, Eagles? Do you peek at a game like that a little bit tonight, Jalen?
Oh, yeah, no doubt, because both of them are my guys. I talked to both of them. I talked to JD and I talked to Jay Hurts. So this is a tough game to watch because, like, man, I want both of them to succeed. But luckily, the best thing about it, they both play quarterback, so I just want them to balls. They don't play against each other.
I like that. I know. Exactly. You mind if I pry and ask, what do you talk to those guys about? Jalen?
So honestly, JD and I, it's just a personal level. You know, it just we have a friendship. You know, I talk to him each and every week, just tapping in with him. He actually, you know, texted me before and after the LSU game, just tapping in and just, you know, getting his perspective. And I just see Jay Hurts as a big, you know, a big brother, you know, just checking in, giving words of wisdom, words of advice that's always needed. You know, of course, you know, he's doing it at a very high level. And as a guy that's inspired to play at the next level and see so much great leaders, great quarterbacks in front of me, to have someone in him who's from Texas, that's from my neck of the woods and understands, you know, what it takes to be a quarterback in the National Football League and to be a leader. And so I just learned so much from him. And so both of those guys, you know, I definitely cherish both of those relationships and I appreciate it.
Yeah, and obviously Jalen's story, right, with what happened at your school and him sticking through it. Him sticking through it and going somewhere else when he had to, and then becoming the guy in Philadelphia, not just, you know, generationally enriched, but being the guy there. It's an incredible story. I'm glad that you guys are connected, Jalen.
Oh yeah, no, cool. Absolutely. You know, absolutely. I learned so much from him and just, you know, how it is, just never getting weary in the process and just staying committed to your goals.
Jalen, I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you throughout the rest of your tenure there in Alabama, and I have a feeling I might see you in Indianapolis very soon, next year, potentially, when it's time for next level. But in the meantime, enjoy the level you're on right now, and it's been a pleasure chatting. Thank you.
So thank you. I appreciate you.
Right back at you. It's Jalen Milroe of Alabama Crimson Tide football right here on the Rich Eisen Show. What an absolute delight.
That was great.
Yeah. What a good kid.
Okay. He's going to be there. He'll be there spinning it in Indianapolis.
Let's see. Raiders next year, maybe?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Let's look up.
How would he look in New York?
For the Jets?
Either.
Or Giants?
Well, yeah, you have your quarterback in the future already.
That's right. My bad. My bad.
Well, he thinks. But, he thinks, though.
Dude, I mean, SEC, Alabama tested, Saban coached, DeBoer coached. Let's see what he does over the final few weeks here.
More importantly, he's the future. He's a two-way threat. He's got the big arm, and he can run the football.
Dude.
So.
And a great head on his shoulders.
Yeah,
I've
really
never chatted
that
with him before. Would a,
that was great.
That was really fun.
Yeah. Saban ear-holed him from across the field, went back, then ran back to him to yell some more.
Insane.
I love those stories. Asking, we should compile.
It's a great series.
Should we
that
compile?
We've done, yeah.
I mean, we've asked defensive players. We've asked
everybody. Devonta Smith.
Right. Asked him.
Yeah.
We get all the
Will Anderson. All
best
the,
one
all
was the Tua story. The Tua story about
because well, they won the Natty. On
well,
the next
because
play.
But on the next play because he took that huge sack and then made the great throw to yeah. overcome it to win the national championship. And Saban after
the game was over.
Oh God,
when it happened, that was
Tua made a joke.
Tua made a joke. Well, because after it's all over, it's like, you know, why are you still trying to coach me, hard coach? That's you know, right. That's confetti in your hair.
Yeah, hey, there's a trophy we're gonna, yeah, we're right. gonna hold up there in a second.
Oh man. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Phone calls, LeBron, what a night. We'll hit on that. And then we'll revisit what's going on in Chicago with the All-22 guru, Nate Tice of Yahoo. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Very smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called AutoQuote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. For business owners like you, the American Express Business Platinum Card works just as hard as you do to help you pursue your passions. With its world-class business and travel benefits, you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. The Amex Business Platinum Card offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business, enabling you to flex and adapt as your business evolves. And you'll earn 5 times membership rewards points on flights and prepaid hotels booked on AmexTravel.com, so that going that extra mile for your business is even more rewarding. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
What's the most pissed off you made Nick Saban ever?
Oh, when I took the sack 2nd and 26 in a national
in
championship.
That game. You mean the one that you immediately made up for with an amazing play,
yes,
that
sir.
Put you on the map?
Yeah, yeah.
That sack?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the sack.
So walk me through how that, what he said to you, if you can, in a certain way on a live radio, TV broadcast.
I mean, I could only see it on camera, you know, how mad he was. That was probably the most pissed off, though, I think he's ever been. I mean, he was squeezing his headset so hard. And then, you know, like, it was hard because the emotion was like so mad to so happy, you know, so fast for him. And, you know, we got into the locker room when everything settled down. I mean, he was still the same coach, you know. Yeah. He pulled me to the side. Like, what were you thinking, you know?
So like taking after the sack. After you won the game,
mm-hmm.
and you picking confetti out of your hair, he still took a moment moment to revisit that sack.
Yeah, being who he is, I mean, you know, he pulled me to the side. He said, you know, well, why did you take the sack?
Right.
You know, and I thought it was a good time to joke with him, you know, so I mean, we won the national championship, so I told him, well, you know, we needed more room to throw the ball, coach. You know, and, like, he looked at me, and, like, I was laughing. He's like, that's not funny. I didn't know what else to do in that situation. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, coach. So I shook his hand, and he just moved on. I was like, oh, man.
That's amazing.
I love that story. Yeah. That made me my favorite story the whole week. So you just figured, yeah, hey.
I was like, yeah, oh,
we
maybe.
Just won it?
Yeah. Thought it was a good time to joke, but it wasn't.
Wow. Yeah, nope. It's never a good time, I guess, in that respect. But it wasn't. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Just received a text from my buddy who was listening to, what's up, Jimmy? Who was listening to that interview. He loved it. Listening to that kid. Jalen Milroe. Yeah, I know you don't normally go, that was an epic, you know, usually do that was epic sort of stuff, but.
A great interview.
But it was.
It was. Yeah, really enjoyed that.
Alabama going on a run. What do you think?
You like them?
Well, Mercer.
Not impossible.
You know, Mercer's 9-1, by the way.
Yeah, they're 45-point underdogs.
Okay. So then that's a dub at Oklahoma. And as we know, Sooners are more later. Than sooner. And, oh, sorry, Zach. Saying hello to all my friends out there.
Alabama's got the fifth best natty odds right now.
Behind, let me guess, Oregon?
Oregon second.
What, people are putting Ohio State above them?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Texas.
That's
third.
Three, right?
You know, Bruce wasn't that high on them yesterday.
And then fourth is?
Surprisingly, still Georgia.
Really?
Maybe that's just a to get action thing, but they did not look impressive, obviously, against Ole Miss.
But they're going to have to.
They're going to have to run the table to get in.
Well, they're going to have to. Who's making the SEC championship game? It'd be Tennessee versus a carousel of people that might have a chance at it, right?
Yeah. And then Ole Miss is sixth, and then there's a big drop off after those.
After those six.
Yeah, Penn State.
Miami's not in there.
Miami's way down, 35,
why?
35-1. I don't.
By the way, that's.
I don't know why. That seems like good value.
If Miami's gotten out of.
A lot of jams.
You know, thicker spots than being 35-1 to win it all.
And they have maybe the number one quarterback in this draft coming up.
I don't know. I think I'm thinking about it and hearing about it. I think Shador is the top quarterback that's going to be drafted after all.
Hmm.
And he could go first overall. Depending how he finishes. Certainly this year.
Depending who has the pick, too.
Dude,
depending
this year, the Colorado, the way they're playing with Prime. And I mean, right now, you take a look. I know we weren't planning on talking about it.
Sorry about that. You want to take a long shot on Colorado.
We go there.
No, Colorado's 70-1, if you're interested.
I mean, you take a look at right now, the Jaguars have the first overall pick. They're not choosing a quarterback. Right. I know you went there with Overreaction Monday that they should you know, trade Trevor Lawrence and do a complete reboot.
Should explore.
Then you got the Giants second overall. They are 1,000,000% drafting a quarterback that high.
Well, it feels like if Jacksonville stays, they're just going to take Travis Hunter.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
I think it's a no-brainer.
Tennessee, they would take a quarterback, don't you think?
Every mock draft I've seen has them taking a quarterback.
Cleveland.
They definitely need one.
Dude. I think there's probably some people in that building that are like, let's see what Deshaun still has
left. They're morons. Yeah.
They're paying him. I mean, that's.
So what? Pay him to go away.
I know you could say that, but I don't know.
If Cam Ward is there, you're not going to take Cam Ward. What are you, crazy?
Vegas is five. They're taking
quarterback.
One. Patriots at 6, not.
Best lineman available.
Panthers at 7 aren't. Jets at 8, they'd have to consider it. They have to.
Have to. Have to.
A 1,000,000% have to consider it. Certainly, they could be higher than 8 the way that they've been playing.
I would imagine they'll end up higher than 8. Yeah, probably.
Saints at 9?
Have to.
They'd take one.
Yep.
Dolphins at 10 would not. I don't think the Dolphins are going to be that high anyway. Dallas at 11 would.
No, they're going to win some games.
Indianapolis at 12 would not. Cincinnati, forget. And then now we're
TJ,
going down the line.
I keep seeing Dallas in mock drafts with Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
Well,
I've seen a few of those.
Is that the biggest no-brainer around or what? I mean, the biggest
giant
no-brainer.
Hole in the roster this year has been
the
running back.
Biggest
although
no-brainer.
Rico's played okay.
And
lately.
The reason that's funny you say giant hole, one thing our line does not open.
Ladies and gentlemen,
well done,
TJ Jefferson, surrounded by the balloons and the flowers, is all in his bag. By the way, 1,000,000%. Cowboys should draft him no matter where they find, where they wind up. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Jeanty doesn't need a hole, says Hoskins as he puts this photograph of him leaping over a defender.
He's a guy
like
that can
Saquon.
Do the backwards jump, right?
Damn straight. Come on, man. That's a no-brainer.
First of all, we got to just stop saying that anyone can do the backward jump because no one's ever done the backward jump before.
No,
so
that's true.
So you can't make it seem like anybody can do it.
No, I get it.
It's so obvious that the Cowboys should take Jeanty that it just blinds you. It just blinds you like that right there. It's like it's coming straight through the window.
Man, low-hanging fruit.
It's not low-hanging. It's right there in front of you.
Sports Illustrated.
That's it. It's so blinding.
Latest mock draft yesterday has the Raiders taking Jalen Milroe, number 5.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, that kid was so impressive.
You'd like that, Jay Felly?
Yeah.
You take it?
He was amazing.
So impressive. You absolutely.
Infectious laugh, too.
Yeah.
But he's got his head screwed on straight. He's totally understood. I mean, Saban, Bryce Young, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, all in his ear. Why wouldn't you want to draft somebody who's got a physical skill set and a heartbeat and a brain combination like that? I'm very impressed. Of course, that all goes out the window if he refuses to throw on NFL Network. Then it's on. Note to all future quarterback prospects, when it's your time to throw, please throw.
Are you going to text Dion? Like, come on. Shador's got to throw, right? You're going to kind of nudge?
No.
Nudge
no, that's not. No. The text I send to Dion is, see you in Indianapolis? ? See you in Indy? Can we mic you up? Can we get you out there?
What?
You know what keeps popping into my timeline
then? The thing about Dion being in Indy is he going to be representing an NFL team in Indy?
Oh, come on.
He's going to get calls.
I'm sure he's going to get calls, but I don't know. He said he had no interest in doing it. That was last year. Yeah. This is now. We'll see. I don't think we're going to see him in Indianapolis.
At all.
But I'd love to get him there and mic'd up and back on the field doing his thing for us again.
It'd be cool.
Travis Hunter's got to be in Indy, right? Yes.
So Travis Hunter does not need to go to Indy.
Let me tell you what Travis Hunter needs to do.
I want Travis Hunter to break some combine records.
That would be sick, but
this is what I want
it.
Travis Hunter to do. I want to see Travis Hunter work out at both positions.
That's what I'm saying.
And dominate it. And just go out there and dominate it.
That would be awesome.
Here's what he doesn't need to do.
Any of what I just said. Yeah.
Okay. I understand that.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do it, but boy, would I love to
see
him.
It would be cool.
I would love to see him go out and do the corner drills and dominate. I'd like to see him run the 40-yard dash 4 times, twice with the receiver group and twice with the cornerback group.
I bet he does.
I want to see him do the route tree stuff. I want to see him do the gauntlet. I want to see him do the whole damn thing.
The guy plays 120 plays a game. I don't think he's worried about getting tired.
And here's what I want the combine to do. I want the combine, which, by the way, was just announced. It's in Indianapolis through 2026. Personally, I think it should never go anywhere else. It's perfect for Indianapolis, and Indianapolis is perfect for it. That said, I would love the combine folks to put the corner defensive back workout on the same day as the receivers and have them do all of it in one day.
We might need a day.
Don't you want to spread that out?
Here's what's not going to happen. That.
I mean, he's at least 12 hours.
It's not going to happen. Because they make these kids like wake up at 4 in the morning and pee in a cup and start the day that way. Yeah. You know. But that's, it's all good, man. So psyched. Last night, the association was kind of off the hook here, right?
Was.
You saw Giannis score 22 of the first 24 for the Bucks, and yet the Bucks were down at halftime. I don't know what's going on over there, man.
It's a weird season.
I love Doc. I am, you know, I'm hoping that he's got the backing that they're not going to one and done another guy in the middle of the season, right? They're not going to do that.
That would be absurd.
I would be shocked.
It would be absurd. You know,
stranger things have happened.
But the Bucks forced overtime and won it. Wembanyama, by the way, we didn't talk about it yesterday. How about the news that Greg Popovich suffered a mild stroke?
Really,
and we
scary.
Hope he comes back real soon and is okay. They say he should be back. Who knows?
Who knows?
But the Spurs, Big Vic, Team Vic.
Crown Vic.
Crown Vic. 50 points in 26 minutes.
50.
That's a record.
NBA record. Yeah, fastest ever. To score 50 in a game.
8 threes.
He needed only 26 minutes. Dude, that's not even a half of basketball.
Yeah, that's an insane efficiency.
18 to 29, 8 to 16 from deep, 6 to 9 from the line.
Everybody's the official florist of the Rich Eisen show, Carl Anthony Towns. Last night, Knicks down 22 in Madison Square Garden to the Bulls. They made it all the way back, took the lead. Carl Anthony Towns with 46.
Jeez.
I told all you Knicks fans out there that were mourning the loss of Julius Randle because of what he meant to that team and city and franchise. Don't worry about it. He's a perfect Knick. God, I love this guy.
A lot of Timberwolves fans not happy.
Bombing. Yeah. He's really looking great as a Knick. His three ball, his two-man game with Jalen Brunson, his drives to the basket. Last night, though, Bulls survived. And then LeBron takes the court against Memphis on a three-game win streak, even without Morant. Marcus Smart is back.
Marcus Smart.
Son of Scotty's out there balling out.
Son of Scotty's doing well.
I know. And does he tip well? All right.
Great question.
So Anthony Davis tips. He tips it in.
Anthony Davis is playing great.
But LeBron, who turns 40 years old on the penultimate day of this calendar year, December 30th, 3 straight triple doubles now.
Crazy.
It is. Unbelievable. And it's real.
You've never seen anything like this.
It's real. When you watch this, he's jarring threes like it's going out of style. He is running the floor. He's running a whole damn operation. They do not win that game last night without LeBron James. Lakers are 6-0 at home for the first time in well over a decade. And they come off a difficult road trip. They're now 3-0 in their homestand, and LeBron has triple doubles in all of them.
I don't know. I might have played that much longer, to be completely honest. I don't know how many years that it is. If it's 1 year, 2 years, whatever the case may be, but I'm not. I said the other night, I'm not playing till the wheels fall off. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not going to be the guy disrespecting the game because I just want to be out on the floor. I won't be.
I mean,
interesting.
Because it's not, guys, he's playing every game. He wants to play every game. He's literally said, I want to play every game. You know, load that management. Really. And so, NBA Cup, presented by Emirates, is on Friday night. They're playing again on Saturday. He plans on playing every last one of them.
And what are the wheels falling off for him? Or
I don't know. What would that look like?
Because is it like 18 points a game? Because you're not going to get to a point where he's going to be averaging like 10 a game, right? That, that's, he'd have to be 65 for that to happen. So, like, what is the cutoff for him? When does he feel like, seriously, that point would be?
I don't know.
Because I don't see it this year. I don't see it next year. He would have, I
wonder if it's just the Lakers being
off.
Competitive. I wonder if that's, you know, that's what he's.
Well, the Lakers are definitely competitive. The Lakers are competitive.
I say, JJ Redick's done a great job.
You know?
So far.
You same, got same Austin Reeves doing his thing. I know Russell has been struggling early on in this part of the season. Dalton Connect had a nice game last night.
Yeah.
AD's just balling.
AD's taking it up a notch.
The two-man game, if LeBron is playing like this and Anthony Davis is playing like that, name you better. Two-man game, two guys that are going to be leading your team on the floor in the NBA.
The defending champs.
Oh, okay. Well, and that too, I do need to say this. Yeah. I do need to say this. I said it before the show. I'll say it into this microphone. Watching the Celtics play most of their opponents right now is like watching a cat play with a mouse. They're just batting it around. The mouse may escape for a second, but then they'll just pounce on it and just devour it. That is pretty much the way every Celtic game is going. And then there's the Cavs who haven't lost yet.
Play the Celtics in a couple days.
That'll be fun. Is it for the cup? Is it a cup game?
Oh, I don't know. They need to figure out a different format for the cup in terms of the groupings.
Why?
It doesn't make any sense. Well, what teams are in which group?
I don't know. It's probably random.
Yeah.
Chris, it's just the cup.
Man. I know. it's the cup. It's just the cup.
You know what?
There's a green floor and there's a cup.
The floors are weird.
Yeah,
the cup is there.
Yeah.
You know?
And the point differential matters, so guys are really playing hard until the very end, no matter the score.
You don't want to get blown out.
Look at the floor.
I don't know if I like it or not. Yeah, it's like Tron. Remember that?
It's a Tron. I do remember Tron.
Tron was the greatest thing of all time. Yeah. So,
is that right? I didn't know that.
I was horrible at it, but I remember when Tron came out, I remember the arcades were packed trying to get to that. Yeah.
So LeBron basically just said, though, that...
1 year? 2 year?
That'll be season 24 for him.
You have to say he's got a legit three. This plus
look
two.
Look at him.
More.
Plus two more?
Why not?
Why not?
If he's enjoying himself.
Thing is you know, what's different than in years past, he's been a little bit banged up more the last few years. You know, he's missing a few more games. The injuries kind of linger a little bit longer.
Well, not this year.
So far.
And he's just playing out of his mind. He's playing at the top of his game.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Literally, out of the 22 seasons, what he's doing right now isn't far off from any of his. Now, I know we're early, and I know he's pushing 40.
It's unprecedented.
Let's see it go. It's beyond it. You got
to
give it up.
You have to
give it up.
It's always funny. Right, like when he'll have a great game, and then that tweet from like 14 years ago or something will pop up, and it's like, man, this MF can't keep this up for this long. Thank God he's 30. He's going to be out of the league soon. Yeah.
But and I've said this for years. Like, if you're under the impression that Michael Jordan's the greatest, few things are going to change your mind. And if you're under the impression that LeBron's the greatest, every single calendar day, your argument just gets stronger and stronger.
Yeah. Well, the longevity, you know, you're able to accumulate.
Honestly, I was on SportsCenter after his high school games with Stewart.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's how long ago it was.
In college.
Yeah. I mean, he goes to work with his kid. I mean, I know he's technically...
Well, not on the road.
Not on the road, but whatever. Like,
nice.
That's amazing, whatever. Man. That's amazing.
Nothing bores me more than any Bronny James is getting special treatment story. Nothing is more boring to me, because the bottom line is, who cares? I don't care.
Well, I
don't care.
Hold on. I care in a sense for Bronny's development as a basketball player.
Okay, sure. But if he doesn't care, then who cares?
I don't think he has a say, unfortunately.
I don't. You know what? We're all on the outside looking in. It's just,
that's true.
Bottom line is we just spent the last 7-8 minutes talking about how incredible LeBron is. And if part of the reason why he's incredible is because he's a happy dude seeing his son, and his son is cool with it, and he's cool with it, and the Lakers are cool with it. Who cares? I don't care. And as a matter of fact, if you're the Lakers, it's just like, what else do you want, Bronny? do you need your M&Ms frozen? Is that what you like?
You want to play as much basketball as possible.
Your water's room temperature.
Well, you
get out of here.
Coddle him, but
What do you mean play as much basketball as possible?
He needs to develop and play. So, he's like Anthony Richardson in a weird way.
So send him to Spain? Is that what we should do?
No, have him play as many games as possible.
Go see him down the road when they play.
But he's not playing on road games. What is the point?
Yeah, but we're not on the road. We're home. So
that's
we
right.
Can go
you can go
see
right
him.
Across the street.
It's right there.
Who cares? I don't care.
Are you going to go?
Nothing bores me more than a Bronny story like that.
I tell you what bores me more.
Watching LeBron just make it simple, doing triple doubles.
No, a story about curtains in the stadium. That bores
oh
me.
No, actually, that's fascinating to me.
That's boring to me. Okay.
You know, I mean, there's different varieties. There's curtains. There's blinds. There's drapes.
Venetian blinds.
Oh yes.
I have some really cool ones.
Oh yeah, blinds from Venice. Sure. Let's talk about it more. All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Look at that. I mean, listen, that's a great story right there on the screen. I can't even see the screen. It's so bright. Let's talk LinkedIn people and small business owning. I'm a small business owner. Yeah, I might host the Rich Eisen Show, but I run it too. Rich Eisen Productions is a small business. And when you're hiring for small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. And that's why you've got to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. It's not just a job board, this LinkedIn. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why you got to use them. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. That's LinkedIn.com/Eisen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify. With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts are going abandoned and way more sales happening. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skins uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Westwood One, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Westwood One to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Westwood One.
Back here on the program, you know what movie I saw on the plane?
I don't.
One of your favorites. I hadn't seen it in years.
Midnight Run.
No. Shawshank Redemption.
Oh.
I thought Sleepless in Seattle.
Dude, that movie's perfect.
Perfect.
Honestly,
perfect movie.
It is a perfect movie.
Perfect movie.
There's not a moment wasted. Nope. There's not a moment.
There's not a dead
wasted.
Scene where you're like, oh, no. I can get up and go to the no. bathroom here. I don't really no. need to. I can check out.
Yeah. It
San
is
Matanejo.
Perfect. It is totally perfect.
Rich, did you notice I had this? Did you know I had this?
Yes, I know that you got that signed from those guys.
Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins.
It's one of our
poster.
That should be more prominently displayed in our studio here.
I know. I just have it sitting on the floor.
The one thing I do want to ask you, though, is like, so, spoiler alert. So Andy Dufresne, after breaking out of prison, went to that wall in Maine to put the money underneath and then ran off to Mexico? That's what we're supposed to?
Yep.
So
he went to the banks when they opened.
Right.
Then he went from the banks to the wall where the tree is, where he proposed to his wife.
Buried it. And then got out of Dodge.
And then bust.
And then the end really happened, or is that a dream?
Oh, good question. That really happened.
You think
remember,
so?
Remember, Red gets out, and then
I know that.
You know, he's at the place where Brooks was.
You know, that is a large conversation about the movie.
Oh, that it's a dream?
You never heard that?
No, I haven't.
I never heard that.
Oh, I just...
Yeah,
I don't know. Why would
I heard
you think
that
otherwise?
Mentioned once or twice before, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that it's kind of fantastical that actually happened.
Hmm. I don't believe it.
That
believe
he got out a lot. That Andy Dufresne got out, and he made it there, and...
Oh, Wait, so the whole movie's kind of a dream?
No, that the ending was a dream.
Just the ending.
That's the conversation we had.
Whoa.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, we're talking about Shawshank Redemption. But
kind of blew my mind a little bit.
Are you sure? You've never heard
I've never
that
heard
as
that.
A conversation?
No, never, never. Wow.
That's what I had heard. You know,
so
I,
at what point does the... I don't want to spoil it, but what point does the dream start? Like, he doesn't actually break out?
No, that Red gets out and then gets on that bus and does actually go to Mexico and finds him.
So Red doesn't do that. That's just Red's dream?
Like, Zihuatanejo is a large place. There's a lot of beachfront property. He just happens to just stroll up on him while he's working on his boat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so
the ending is Red's dream then. That's kind of what you're saying. Okay. And so Red is still at the grocery store.
Maybe.
Still in that
apartment. That's the, you know, that's part of the conversation I've read about.
I've never
Believe you were such a diehard Shawshank guy. I'd never heard that before. I'm blowing your mind right now.
Never even like thought that.
I don't know if that's a prominent conversation. It might have just been like one article that happened. Now, I don't know that I crossed.
Now I got to look these up.
You know, is the end of Shawshank a dream?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm typing in right now. Yeah, there it is.
Why are you so surprised? You think I'm lying over here?
I'm backing you up on this.
Oh, I just rocked your whole world.
There's a Reddit thread of fan theories. All right.
Yeah, it's
just rocked your whole world.
Shot now.
By the way,
I never ever considered.
I hate to tell you about your other movies. They do actually get sleep in Seattle. Where else am I going here?
They do get mail.
They absolutely get mail.
They do get mail.
They get mail.
Yeah.
They get mail.
Okay. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes the mail is not delivered.
Yeah. Caddyshack? Do we have one for Caddyshack?
No.
All right. Okay. I'm just going to check out for a couple minutes.
Shawshank is your number one, right?
Sure.
I don't mean to twist your arm.
No,
but
you're not twisting. I told you
my favorite movie of all time is The Sting.
I love the main element.
The Sting
obviously.
Is my
Rich
favorite.
The Fugitive too, though. I mean,
The
Chris
Fugitive
loves
is
the
great
fugitive.
Too.
Both of you love The Fugitive.
Also, you know, I grew up kind of next to Buxton, Maine, where that's where the tree is.
Right.
There are a lot of fields like that. Not exactly the rock walls, but I think that movie was filmed in Ohio.
Movie. I had not seen The Shawshank Redemption in. Well over a decade. I haven't seen it in forever. And I'm like, you know what? I got 12 and a half hours to kill on the flight to Munich.
I got a long flight to get.
And I caught up on it there.
It's also one of those ones, you know, obviously got super popular on cable. You just pick it up wherever you happen to catch it.
Well, that's The Fugitive. I've seen The Fugitive more times than that. As you know, we've referred to it as a remote drop movie.
Of course.
And the fact that when Christopher Nolan came on to promote Tenet years ago, he had never heard that term before and asked him his remote drop movie. He blew our minds when he said the legend of Ricky Bobby was
Ricky
his.
Bobby? Like what?
And then in his English accent goes, if you're not first, you're lost.
We
were like, what? Did that just happen on our program? It did. But yeah, I can't believe. So now you're going to spend the rest of your day going down
I'm
this wormhole.
Reddit threads here. Hold on.
Is the end a dream?
It was all a dream. You know?
No, I don't think the whole thing is a dream.
I was just quoting Biggie.
Oh, man.
What?
Jeez.
What, the dream starts at the very beginning?
What? One explanation is that Red hangs himself like Brooks.
That's what I didn't want to say. If it's a dream, it might be a bad thing.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
That he did the same thing as Brooks in that same room
because
he was in.
He wrote also Red.
Red was here.
Yeah.
Right, and then he walked out the door and did this.
Oh, my God. No, I never even considered that.
Oh, my God.
I never thought that was ever a possibility.
Hey, look at you, Felly, being so nice, not wanting to just basically say... That's where
this is ruining my day.
As soon as you said that, I was like, oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
A little dark twist.
Yeah, bro.
Oh, man. Well, look, I mean, that is a Stephen King short story.
A novella, yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me
if
it had a dark twist.
I know.
Damn it.
I know. Hate to tell you, too.
You want a therapy later?
Last year's Celtics championship didn't happen either.
Didn't happen.
No. No.
Oh, no.
No. No. You dreamt that one, too.
All right, I got to go.
You know what I also dreamt? I dreamt the Freddie Freeman Grand Slam walk-off home run.
Right?
Yep. Tell me when I'm going to wake up from that.
That was very real.
Never?
Never.
Damn it.
Sadly.
We just blew your his mind. Hour three coming up.
Well, Rich, good news for you. The whole Aaron Rodgers experience has been a dream for you.
Oh, God. All right.
I'm honestly like, I'm kind of shook right
but
now.
But you've heard this before, right?
I mean,
look, it's not a widely.
No.
Thing,
not know, like thing. His Die Hard a Christmas movie. Yeah. That's why.
There have been, like, on Twitter.
Should we get Jake Tapper on to explain? I mean, he must be an expert on this subject matter, too.
Oh, now here's another one. Jeez.
What is
there's
it?
There's another comment. That guy goes, I want to take this one step further. The morning that Andy didn't step out, he committed suicide. So the whole thing is Andy's.
No. Now that's crazy.
Jeez.
No. And then, but so what? So Red was dreaming.
Yeah, this Who's guy wrote, what I think happened See, is that no. Andy died and Red stayed in prison and he's telling the tale of his old friend and how he beat the system. And it's a lie he keeps telling himself and all the new people that come to jail
now that's,
to give them some hope. What is happening?
That's reaching. I don't know about that one.
But the Morgan Freeman narration is why he's doing all the Visa commercials, right? And all that, like that.
Right.
One of the greatest narration tales in movie history.
One of the best voiceover, movies ever. It's great. I mean, that movie
is perfect, brother. It is worthy of being a favorite, like a remote drop favorite. But I can't believe I just blew your mind with this. Fantastic. On live TV, too. Fabulous. Hey, it's Rich Eisen here. Join me and my compadre, Chris Brockman, every Monday on the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Rich, Jameis has taken the Browns to the playoffs.
Dude,
why can't they win 7-8 games to finish the year? Why not?
I'm not saying there's no why not, but this is a definitive statement that's clearly an overreaction and is perfect fodder for a show like this one. I appreciate you coming out of the gate hot. Come react or overreact with us. Overreaction Monday, wherever you listen. It's game over.
Over, man.